Raise your hand if you've ever left a conversation feeling fine, and then 5 minutes later, your brain said, "Hey, let's review everything you just said." Welcome to Post-Event Rumination, the unsolicited director's cut of your social life. Hey, I'm Dr. Regina, PhD, and this is Divergent Paths, the podcast where we talk about all the things that late-diagnosed neurodivergent folk experience. Make sure to subscribe to my newsletter, Nerd Notes, where I share even more information and tips for making your weirdness feel like home. The link is in the show notes. Today, Russ and I are talking about why neurodivergent brains ruminate, why it tends to show up after the event, and how to stop the replay without shaming yourself for having a brain that cares.
I'm diving right in here, Regina, because what's the difference between rumination and just reflecting?
Like I was just having this conversation.
Yeah, just thinking about, oh, that was such a good conversation, or, oh, maybe I should have said this. Where's the line?
Rumination generally tends to be something that's sticky. Like you can't get away from it. You know how like when you, if you have small humans or if you've been around small humans and you know that things just get sticky and you have no idea why sometimes. It's kind of like that. It's a repetition. It's a you getting stuck on a thought. It's you playing the moment in time over and over and over again in your brain for whatever reason, but you just get stuck on it. So rumination isn't reflection. And then reflection is usually just a, I don't know, like a one-time thing you do. You might reflect back on a moment, but rumination means you go through it over and over and over again.
I'm thinking of the thing of Monday morning quarterbacking, you know, like where you look at the, I mean, it's the sports analogy of looking at the tape Monday morning to see like what you did wrong on Sunday.
Right.
So that can be a good thing because now you're learning the mistakes you made and the, you know, the whatever. I don't watch football. So, you know.
So you're even using a sports metaphor with someone who will admittedly say they know nothing about sports.
Yeah. So we're on the same page here. But, you know, you're looking back at that throw or that catch.
Right. Yes.
And thinking like, okay, I could have done this better. But with the Monday morning quarterbacking, you're looking at the tape sometimes, let's say, to actually improve yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm not saying that like reflecting back on something or this kind of, you know, Monday morning tape, quarterbacking, taping thing or whatever.
I'm going to bring up so many sports analogies to you now. This is so much fun.
I guess you're just like, you're so flustered. That's fabulous. So there is a difference between processing something and ruminating on it. So let's define the difference between it. When you're talking about like reflecting on, you know, the sporting event, the day after it happened, watching the tape and learning and seeing like what you can change and how you might modify things, that's a process, right? You're moving forward. You're looking at what you might change and how you might gain insight and how you might integrate that experience into the next game, right? Rumination doesn't do that. Rumination is just blaming yourself over and over again for something that you perceive as being a problem in that conversation. It's circular. You go back and forth over the same moment, over the same thing. And it is a process of protection that your brain has created. You are looking for threats. You are looking for mistakes and things that you've made that your brain is perceiving something as dangerous and it's trying to fix it. But you can't fix the past.
Is it just on what you said in that particular situation or did, or is it what the other person, and now you're looking back at that and you're like ruminating on it and saying, oh no, this is like what they said actually was kind of mean, you know, it was kind of like not cool. So now you're thinking about it afterwards and trying to, you know, break it down into it and looking at it now in a different way.
Absolutely. And this is, you know, neurodivergent nervous systems have a heightened pattern recognition We're sensitive to social feedback. You're late diagnosed. You have a history of being misunderstood or missing like social cues. And so, yeah, it isn't just what you said. It might be that somebody said something that you realize later was unkind or mean or, you know, in a like sneaky social way, right? Like you didn't pick up on it at the time and then you come back to it and you're like, oh my God. And then you get stuck not just in, you know, why did they say that? But what are the different things? Like, how could I have responded different? Like, oh, they insulted me and I laughed it off. I have done that so many times in my life. I have done that so many times. I can't even pick a single story to tell for this because this is just such an overarching thing that has happened so much in my life.
In baseball. No, I'm just kidding. when you're actually in it, right? When you're okay, now you're actually in the game. It's hard for you to actually analyze that and look at it. And now you're just laughing something off that might be a negative or backhanded compliment or something that somebody's saying to you. You're in the situation. You don't know what to say. You don't know what to do. But then afterwards, you're then looking at it. So why after the event? Why does it happen after and not like during while it's actually taking place?
I think like in the moment, you know, there's a lot of different things kind of happening. If you're masking, you're more worried generally about your social appearance and blending in and that sense of belonging, because like I said, you know, our brains are often, neurodivergent brains are often primed for threat detection. That's part of why we're so good at pattern recognition. So belonging is how you feel less threatened in social events. So if you're masking, you're more worried about the social perception of what's happening in the moment than you are what's actually happening. And so your sort of your pattern recognition doesn't necessarily kick in because you have that barrier in the way. There's also something that I also experience a lot, which is delayed emotional processing, where you don't pick up on your own emotional experience of the moment, which links to masking as well. And you know, you have, so those are sort of two layers that are already between you and the event that's happening. So when you back off from it, when you're out of it and you have your nervous system's probably more regulated, you're home, you've, you know, taken off your uncomfortable clothes that you might have had at a social event or whatever, and you're relaxing, you have a nervous system that allows you to look back and see that event more clearly than you did when you were in the moment of it.
I would think too, you know, like, now I'll turn this into a better analogy for you. In acting. Okay. So in acting, right. I've compared it before to masking in a way, right. Because you're playing a role. So like if you're masking and you're in that character, well, when you get home and you take off that character and now you're yourself again, you're then able to process and able to look at the dialogue that was said.
Right. Yeah. And you're able to go back over it. And, you know, and like I said, it's not, reflecting isn't bad. Processing isn't bad. Rumination is bad because we often have scripts of what did I do wrong that are playing through your mind through it. And that's why they get sticky, because you think like, oh, I could have done this, or did I miss something in this situation? And what was their emotional state? Because that's all part of masking to a degree, helps you manage somebody else's emotional state, or at least you think you're doing that, right? Because you're putting that veneer up to create that distance. And so when you take it down, you start thinking about, oh, what were they feeling? Were they annoyed? Were they angry? Were they this? Were they that? You know, if this is a work situation, because like we're talking and I'm kind of talking in social situations, but this happens at work too. If it's a work situation, like, oh, did I mess up with my boss? Did I make a bad impression? Like, you know, is somebody going to say something bad to my boss behind my back because I didn't catch on to whatever nuance they were laying down that weren't, you know, being communicated directly?
It's your inner Yelp.
It's your inner Yelp.
You're giving yourself some 1-star reviews because of what you did. Okay,
exactly.
Let's put it to the other side, because now, you know, Yelp can be a good thing. What about giving yourself 5-star reviews? When is a critique of yourself good?
Yeah, and I mean, that is one of the best ways to sort of break out of rumination, is to, instead of framing things in where you might have been lacking in some way, or where it starts to move into other things that hurt you in other ways. Like, I will get stuck sometimes in a rumination cycle and I won't be able to sleep. I will have a hard time eating because it, you know, if the emotional stakes are really high in what happened, like I said, like in work or in, like, you know, personal relationships or whatnot, sleep can get disrupted. You can get flooded by emotions that are not great. You can rewrite history to make yourself feel like you were the villain, which is often not the case. Like, you know, but, you know, that threat detection is like trying to figure out what's going on. And often, because we have struggled with this and we have struggled with, you know, picking up the nuances of social interactions in the moment, you start to, you know, beat up on yourself. So reframing this as your nervous system didn't get closure and you need to process. And process is taking it and figuring out a conclusion and not critiquing it, to go back to the sportsing analogy, because I guess I'm just going to be stuck on that one now because you started us off on it. Look, I do get sticky with other things too, apparently. You know, if you're looking at the play and you're like, oh, I fumbled here, but okay, maybe next time I can make sure that, you know, this happens this way or whatever. It's that movement forward. It's that, where can I go with this?
So how do you break out of this? Like, when you're in this, I mean, I sort of imagine it's sort of like, it's like doom scrolling, right? Like, yes, you're just scrolling through all of the,
you're doom scrolling through your social interactions, right? You are just like playing it.
Wow, this is really social media. So how do you get out of that?
So there are several different like approaches you can take here. So some of the tools, one of the best, I think, is to externalize this, right? I have talked before that I am definitely an external processor. I need to either talk things through or journal. So like, write it down. If you don't have someone to talk to about it, like, record yourself with a voice note, right? And see if just the process of getting it out of you, so you're not just keeping it inside your head and playing it back and forth, put it out somewhere. That's you know, externalizing that loop and getting it outside is a really good step to sort of process it.
Okay. What else can you do?
Another thing is to name it. So like, if you think about it in a frame of, this is threat protection, this is your brain and your nervous system trying to protect you. If you name the threat, what is my brain trying to protect me from right now? You know, am I worried about rejection? And am I worried about not belonging? And am I worried about this being a conflict? Am I worried about being misunderstood? Is this something that's going to come back later? Is this person really mad at me? Has this impacted our relationship, etc.? Like, get it named. Figure out what the core thing is that it's hitting that's causing that cycle.
And I feel like some of it is just going to be, or much of it probably is going to be, sort of unrealistic fears, right? Like, there's no data to support that anything's wrong. You think often, you upset this person, and all of a sudden they're still your friend. So
yeah, you're seeing things that aren't there sometimes. Yeah. We're perceiving things as threats that aren't necessarily there. But sometimes they are. Sometimes you will have missed something. And, you know, what that would then do is help you find, like, is there evidence? So another way to help link yourself out of this is to get this to a reality anchor. Like, is there something? Is there proof here that this was an issue? Or is this something that my nervous system has perceived as dangerous but isn't really a threat to me? Mm-hmm. And that leads into my next, you know, tool, which is to check in with your body, which I think I say on almost every episode. You know, how does your body feel like, and how can you help your body move out of this, you know, walking, exercise, movement. You know, sometimes if I'm in a situation where I can't get home and like reset, I will go and I will wash my hands with cold water, and that will help like break me out of being too much in my brain, right? Because it brings my thoughts into, you know, into my hands or something like that. So, I have talked a lot about how movement is so important for ADHD. You know, getting out and taking a walk is a really great way when you get like stuck in a rumination cycle. Take a walk outside, not like treadmill walking, but like outside where you have to look at things and, you know, get out into nature. Even if it's raining, get out into nature.
Well, the rain will make you forget about everything else because you'll be annoyed that you're wet.
You'll be uncomfortable. So,
yeah. No, what about like a, you know, we talked about scheduling stuff before, mm-hmm. right? Like in a previous episode, we talked about throwing stuff on a calendar. Right. Would that work for this?
Sure. Schedule yourself a set amount of time, set a timer. Like I can fret about this for 10 minutes and then maybe use one of these other tools that I've already presented to break yourself out of it. When you give yourself permission to ruminate, it will often not last as long. You will be more likely to break yourself out of that cycle. It will get less sticky, you know? Right. It'll get less right. sticky.
Well, that's sort of cool. And also, by the way, I think journaling might be nice for this, right? Like you're
yes.
sort of writing down the situation and getting it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that you're, absolutely. You know, it's no longer just in your mind, it's on paper, and you can sort yep. of, you know, crinkle up that paper yeah, and throw it in maybe.
What that does, right? What that does is like what you need to do in these situations is integrate the rumination. Like, the more you fight against it, the harder it's going to want to hold on. So the mm-hmm. more likely you are to integrate this thinking and this as part of your process and to look at it as like, what can I learn? Like, what would I do differently? Or maybe not do differently, like, and to forgive yourself and be compassionate about the fact that like, it's okay. You know, maybe whatever it is, whatever the situation is you're ruminating on, it's okay that you're ruminating on it. Like it's okay.
Right. Like what's the healthy processing look like? Like what is that? Like what's the, I know maybe it's different for everyone. Of course it is. But
yeah.
let's maybe just give me an example of yours. Like what's your healthy way of processing something?
Healthy processing for me looks like accepting that I mask at certain times and accepting that I miss social cues. That's been a really big thing for me is just, you know, recognizing that, yeah, sometimes I do miss the things. Like I would say, you know, I miss the fact that I was bullied in junior high. Like I did not catch on to the fact that I was being bullied. Like I just completely missed it because I missed all of the cues that were kind of, you know, a lot of junior high or middle school age is about testing social configurations, like you're figuring out your friends or whatnot, but your friends are also figuring out how you respond to things. And so like, this is it. Middle school is about boundary testing, right? It's about pushing on the boundaries. And because I was not really comfortable or able to recognize my boundaries, people would push on them and I wouldn't know it, right? And I spent a lot of time feeling really bad about that until I went back and I'm like, well, I just didn't understand. And like, mm-hmm. why am I judging myself so harshly about something I just didn't understand at the time? You know? And so I think process is being able to say, I didn't understand that then. I have right. learned to understand it now. And I am creating a life that is built on that understanding versus built on me feeling bad about the lack of understanding that I had.
Right. Like I don't feel bad at all that I don't understand so much about football. Neither should you. I'm just saying.
I don't feel bad either. The sportsing is not my geekdom at all.
All right, so we have closure on that.
let's talk about closure in general.
How do we actually close out an event so we stop running?
So I think, you know, a really closing out an event is being able to look back and say, you know, okay, that happened then, and it's okay that it went that way. And whatever steps, whatever tools you can use, you know, from this that help you get to a point where you can just say, you know, rumination isn't a flaw. It's not bad. It's just an unfinished process. And, you know, knowing that you can get yourself to closure with it, to accept what happened or what didn't happen or et cetera, you know, getting to that is one of the kindest and most gentle things you're going to be able to do for yourself. It's super powerful.
Okay. Well, speaking of closing, we're going to close here, but what do you want to, the people listening, the ever growing audience, loving the stats, by the way,
yes.
What do you want them to walk away with from this episode?
I really want people to walk away with an understanding that, you know, this is a normal part of your process. This is something that I see in a lot of my clients. A lot of the people who come into my coaching practice struggle with rumination. And so we work really hard on processes of process, on learning how to process versus ruminate. So if this is something that's resonated with you, and if you have struggled with this, please hit the link in the show notes and book a clarity call where we can have 30 minutes to talk and see like where you're at and what my services are. And I would love to help you get to the point where you can accept that it's okay that your brain may play the same social situation, same work situation over and over again. But be gentle with your brain, because it's really just trying to help.